All right, we are live on Facebook.
What's up, welcome, everyone?
Welcome to the Gospel Nobodies podcast, our live interview on Facebook, part of Acts 29's Rural Initiative. And we are here today to interview rural church planners and get a little glimpse into their life and what they're doing, how God's using his people in small, forgotten places around the world. And so today we are with Billy Glosson from Morganton, North Carolina. And thank you for saying, I'm Zach Mason, your host for today. We're just glad to be here and talking. We are going to be talking a little bit to Billy and about what's going on in his life. So Billy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're planted and what that place is like?
Yeah, so I am in Morganton, North Carolina. I'm actually not too far from Zach right here. We're actually just about 40 minutes down the mountain, and I planted Coram Deo Church in the heart of Morganton, North Carolina. Grew up there in that area, fell in love with the area, loved it, and lived in Missouri for a number of years. Went out there, went to college, got connected with an Acts 29 church in Columbia, Missouri, Karis Church, and served on staff there. Did a residency that led into me being one of the elders there, and then just in the process of desiring to plant, felt a draw back to North Carolina, ended up landing back in our hometown to plant a church.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I met Billy several years ago now, like 2018, 2017?
Yeah, 2018.
2018. Through another church planner, Brian Robbins, in Asheville, North Carolina, put us together. And we were both just starting out and thought we would be friends. And we've been friends for ever since then, I think.
Yeah, man. Yeah, God's been really kind.
Yeah. So you said you planted church, Coram Deo Church. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that name and what that means and why you chose that.
Yeah, so we named the church Coram Deo, which is definitely a different kind of sounding name. Coram Deo is a Latin phrase that means before the face of God or in the presence of God. So the reformers use that as kind of almost a, this is what the Christian life should be, that everything we do, the sum total of who I am, should be lived in the presence of God, right before his face, the whole of my life. It's not just that, hey, Sunday morning's for Jesus and the rest of the week is for me, but rather everything I do, right from clocking into work to, hanging out with my kids to doing the dishes, all of that can be done for God's glory and in his presence. And we named the church that intentionally to push against this idea, you know, that, hey, we can kind of compartmentalize our lives. And we knew that being in a smaller town, having a Latin name was going to be kind of unusual. And we also knew that it would cause people to ask the question, what does that mean? Which would then afford us the opportunity to just say everything I just said.
So how have you seen that like be beneficial and play itself out in the life of your church and in your community as people like ask about the name and
things like that? Yeah. So Coram Deo has been really helpful for us in a lot of ways. And certainly it's been weird, right? For some people that are like, hey, you know, I mean, when you're in a small town, you know, you're kind of like, that's an interesting take.
All of our church mispronounces your name, to be honest.
Great.
But it leads to conversations. It leads to conversations.
Yeah. I mean, we knew going in that it was a Latin name and it would be a little bit of a challenge, but what it's gone, I'll give you an example. So I went out to eat at a place called Abilese in our town. It's just like a small breakfast place. They do like a really awesome breakfast buffet. So you can get all you can eat bacon, glory to God. And I'm there and I meet this lady and she just says, What is a Coram Deo? She didn't, you know, not, that's not necessarily the correct way to ask that question. And I told her, and she was so blown away by that idea. She's like, you're right. Like we really should be living the whole of our life in God's presence. And it's been this over and over again. It's been kind of two things we've seen. One, as people understand that name and what it means, they're like, okay, cool, I get it. That's neat. But the bigger part is our people catch vision. Yeah. And they're able to go to their workplaces, their spheres of influence, and share the vision of the church with other people. And it's been really, really killer.
Yeah, I've joke about our church mispronouncing it. But the reality is it has led to some amazing conversations about what it means and why you named it that. Because that is such our culture where we live. We don't, like you said, we don't live very far away. And our culture is very much kind of just default. God gets Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And the rest of my life is mine.
Absolutely.
And so really kind of embodying that, like being an embodiment of name and as a culture of the church that we are fighting against, I think is wonderful. It's been great for us to just kind of near you guys. So when did you plant Coram Deo Church?
Okay, so we moved in 2018 back from Missouri to North Carolina, got our feet underneath us. Start of 2019, we started gathering a core team. And then in the fall of 2019, we started doing preview gatherings, and we launched, you ready for this, March of 2020. So that was an experience, to say the least.
That was a wild time to launch.
Yeah.
So right at the beginning, how many weeks did you have before you guys had to stop meeting?
We had 2 weeks. We had just moved to Sunday morning. So again, we had been doing the preview gatherings on Sunday evenings. We'd been building up our people. We'd gotten really excited. We rolled up the trailer, unloaded, packed in, packed out, felt really great, got two good reps underneath us. And then the third week we had to stop.
That's something, yeah. And, you know, the wild thing is as crazy as that sounds, I've been talking with more and more church planters who planted in the beginning of 2020. Mm-hmm. And are still here, which is just testament to God's goodness.
Yeah, man.
That his kingdom's advancing, the church is being built. It's not, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Like, Christ is doing what he said he would do.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of all this that's going on. So planting in 2020, the very beginning, and having two Sundays under your belt, that's just mm-hmm. wild. And then having to go like, what did you like live stream?
Yeah. So I think church planting in 2020 was just a series of innovations, right? Sure. So I hate Zoom just like everybody else now, because we did so much on it.
We're on it right now, but
you know, it's fine. It serves its purpose. It's helpful. But like after a while it started to get kind of a little bit grating, but it was kind of just improvising all the time, coming with new ideas. So we did a lot of campfires. We did Sunday mornings, we did outside. And so we were outside for almost the duration of the entirety of 2020.
Wow.
Pretty much from May until towards the very end of December.
It started getting cold.
Yeah, when it got too cold. And so we were just kind of in a place where we were going to move into a new facility, but they weren't quite ready for us. And so we had to go back online for just a few weeks before we could move in.
And so if anyone has any questions who's listening, you can put them in the chat or put them in the comments, and then we'll see them. And we'd love to, if you have any questions for Billy. So that's wild. And what did you do to stay grounded in the gospel, like stay sane, you're still here.
Yeah.
So God's been doing some stuff. What happened?
I think it's a mixture of things. I mean, the number one thing was definitely, I think if I could give anybody the biggest lesson I've learned over this entire church planting journey is just be dependent on the Lord. There's this recipe for, I think, church planters and pastors in general, where we can be always at it, always going, always moving forward, always trying to innovate, always trying to connect with people, write a great sermon, meet and do everything that we can do. But there is a beauty and a depth in realizing the reality that we are broken and weak and we are dependent on Jesus. And so that was such a huge thing for me, just kind of living in a place of dependency on the Lord, seeking him, yearning for him. I also think just kind of maintaining some friendships, like staying in touch with you and Brian, connecting with some other guys who were in ministry and encouraging each other, praying for each other, being really honest with our people, like, hey, this is crazy. We're in this together. Innovating all the time. Like, we did morning devos 5 days a week on Facebook Live. And we did that because we were trying to be a constant presence and like give people hope in the midst of what seemed like a really hopeless time.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, you had to go back online because the space you were going to start meeting in when it's cold was right. Tell us a little bit about that space and what that's been like.
Yeah, man. So Morganton is an amazing town. So it's a really unique place. It's situated right between Asheville and Charlotte. So we get a lot of life, art, culture, and vitality that flows downstream to us, but it's a smaller city, about 18,000. And so what's really unique though, is of those 18,000, 20% are Guatemalan. And so that's largely because we have a chicken processing plant called Case Farms. There's actually a really cool study of globalization that was written about the Guatemalan community in Morganton called the Maya of Morganton, if you want to read a really unique book about my town. So this Guatemalan community has grown and has thrived. And with it, there was a family that moved where the husband was from Guatemala, the wife was from America, and they wanted to kind of bridge the gap between the two spaces. And so they started a place called Little Guatemala, which is a coffee roastery. They make chocolate as well. And then they also renovated this space to have an indoor soccer complex. So what they did was they took an old feed and seed store, right? One side was like a big kind of warehouse where you would back your truck in and get your seed and your feed and all that stuff dumped on your truck. And then the other side was the general store. They turned the general store side, into a coffee shop, and then the big warehouse side into an indoor soccer complex. And that's where we gather as a church. So every Sunday morning, we take a soccer field, an indoor soccer field, and we put up some pipe and drape and put out some chairs, and it turns into a Sunday morning worship gathering. And then the coffee shop side is converted over to our kids ministry area. And it's a really unconventional space, but it has been a huge blessing. I think one of the things I wasn't fully aware of, coming from a college town in Columbia, Missouri, to Morganton, North Carolina, I'm thinking, I grew up here, I've got some friendships and connections, I put feelers out. It was really hard to find a place on Sunday mornings. There's a lot of it is, you know, other people are doing stuff on Sunday mornings, so they don't want to staff it. And we were just really struggling for a while. And then this place became a possibility, and we loved the vision of what they were trying to do and the way that they were working in the community. Yeah. And so we started to dream about what it could look like for us to join with them and to gather there. And it's been a huge blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we found the same thing in our small town. In fact, our first several months of planting, we were meeting on Saturday mornings because no one rent to us on Sunday mornings. Cause again, they want to work. So they didn't want to have staff. Yep. They couldn't have us. They couldn't give us the keys up being there. And so it was a whole thing, man, but that's cool. So you found that you're meeting on an indoor soccer field. Mm-hmm. People are bringing their own chairs. You have some chairs.
So the very first Sunday we gathered, we didn't have chairs yet. And okay. So we definitely did it family style, and okay. It was wild. And there were some people who came to visit and they've never been back since.
Yeah.
And I bet I can understand why. God was really gracious to us. So we've gathered with several other churches in this area in Western North Carolina in Asheville. And when we got together for a third Thursday event, there was another pastor there who said, "Hey, do you need chairs?" and gifted us 200 chairs. So we drove up here, rented a U-Haul, and loaded up 200 chairs. So now we have our own chairs. It looks like a normal Sunday service. Really, the only thing that looks kind of weird is like the floor is AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just looks like an industrial, like you're inside, you've got these big, huge glass garage doors. So it's actually really cool looking, cool. Except for the turf.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Do you find that kids just feel like they can run around no matter what? Because it's just...
That was definitely a huge issue the first few weeks.
Like, not that kids can't.
Absolutely.
Our kids run around our church.
It's anyway. More that like we have like really heavy speakers on stands and we're like, please don't, you know, get clocked by a speaker. But we set the pipe and drape up in front of the goals, and that takes a lot of it away. And so when the kids come in, it really does feel more like a church, like that's a gathering
cool.
space.
That's really cool.
So, yeah.
And so you're meeting in this space, like people are gathering. What kind of stuff are you doing to disciple these people, to raise them up in the Lord and teach them?
Oh man, we're doing a lot. So we do community groups. And so that's been a huge blessing for us to kind of dive deeper, having Life on Life ministry. I run a leadership cohort that I take men and women through. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really life-giving thing we do. And we're pulling this out a little bit more now as life has kind of slowly more and more become normal. We're doing Theology on Tap at a local brewery where we're talking about like big pressing issues. We've got some ideas in the future for, we've done a little bit of this, teaching people ancient practices. So we're going to start a new series in the next year. We talked a little bit about this earlier with like the Institute idea of like training and teaching.
Yeah.
We're going to do a thing called Ever Ancient, Ever New. Okay. Where we talk about how do we take the truths of scripture and apply them to our lives in a daily basis. So teaching them things like Lectio Divina, which is just praying through scripture three times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically like trying to meditate on a specific set passage, like God, what is in your word here? But man, just that we've done like a lot of one-to-one Bible reading, a lot of just like diving deeper into God's word, seeing God do some really amazing things.
Yeah. Through all of that, what have been some of the biggest wins so far?
Man, I'll tell you the best story ever. We have a guy in our church who is killer, just like so faithful, loves Jesus. He had a really tough year a couple years ago. I won't get into any specifics, but just was really on the ropes. His marriage was struggling. He was struggling and did not see a way forward. Fast forward a few years, him and I are reading a book together. We're going through God's word together. We're sitting outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. The sun is like blaring down on us. And for the first time ever, this guy grew up in the church, right? And this is something you've experienced a lot too. And I think if you're in a rural context, you'll experience this, where people are familiar with church, but they're not familiar with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he, for the first time ever, got the idea that Jesus's righteousness had been applied to him. Meaning he looked at me and he said, so that means when I stand before God, Billy, God doesn't see all the broken things I've done. He just sees Jesus. And I was like, yeah, man. And he just like wept. I was like, that is so good. And I was like, yeah, man, the gospel is good news. I would say moments like that, where people get the gospel in a powerful way, where the Holy Spirit illuminates the word for their understanding and they get it and they see this amazing truth that it's not do more, try harder, but it's that Christ has done it and that he's won the day and that he gives us victory in him. Man, that's rich and that's life-giving.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great, man. I love those moments in your people's lives when you can just like, even just like, you know, you talk about like Holy Spirit's illuminated God's word, but it's almost like he also like illuminates their like countenance. Like you can see a light bulb go off.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Like I get this. Like I don't get it all, but I get this piece.
Yeah.
And this piece is giving me life. And so I love that, man.
Yeah.
That's super encouraging. So you're gathering people, you move back home.
Yeah.
You're gathering people. You're discipling them. You're also a part of the X49 network.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about how that's been and why you joined, how that's been for you.
Yeah. So we knew early on we wanted to go X39. So when we found Caris Church through the X39 network, we were Googling for an X39 church. That's how I found them in Columbia, Missouri. And as I did an internship that led to a residency to me being on staff there. We just felt so much camaraderie in that network. We hung with a lot of guys in St. Louis, and we had pastors who would come and hang out with our elder team and pray for and encourage us. And just seeing that dynamic of coaching and care, but also a passion to see more and more gospel-centered churches being planted, that was something that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. Coming down to North Carolina, I was a little nervous because all my relationships were in the Midwest. What was that going to look like here? And man, just like, meeting Brian Lowe, really getting good friendships with Brian Robbins, and then him connecting the two of us and just getting more connected. And now, not only that, but then the cohorts that have come out this last year have been killer. Yeah. My cohort got together in Florida and I love those guys. And one of the guys is actually about an hour away from me and we're going to try and get together soon. So it's just a really cool thing to see. Not only a passion for church planting and resourcing guys, but a passion for brotherhood and camaraderie to see the gospel continue to go forth for the long haul. Right.
Yeah.
So that's been really, really huge for me and something that I've deeply loved about being a part of X39.
Yeah. I mean, I think being a part of a network that's healthy is really beneficial. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the last couple of years has really been like, it's shown me why I need to be a part of a network.
Yeah.
A brotherhood of men who love Jesus, love the gospel, love church planting, and love God's people. And so, that's been huge for us too. Just through like the friendships, camaraderie you're talking about. When you think about, all of this that's going on, and there's been a lot of encouragement this last year in spite of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most looking forward to this next year? I know you talked about doing the ever ancient, ever new, but like, what are you most looking forward to?
Man, I'm honestly looking forward to getting more plugged into and involved in our city. So that was something we did early on, especially in 2019, was we had a lot of different connections and networking that we were doing. And we've continued to do a lot of that over 2020 and 2021, but it's like a lot more like gathering materials or giving money and less like being on boots on the ground. We just have a lot of ideas of people we want to connect with and press forward with in our city, different organizations we partnered with, everything from the Pregnancy Care Center to an organization called TOSS that does art education with kids. And we love what they do. And we just love being a part of everything that they're a part of. Just so many different things like that we're excited about. We're planning a potential event, not for 2022, because it's going to be really big and ambitious, called For Morganton, where we're going to try and bless and serve our city alongside of other churches and other organizations. And so we've already had some good conversations like that. That's something I'm super amped about. I'm really excited, man, just to jump back in with several of our people who are really getting hungry for God's word. There are a lot of people who have kind of gotten involved recently who are super excited to dig deep, and we're getting ready to roll out new community groups in January. And so I'm just really excited to get people plugged in and get into God's word together.
Yeah. What do your community groups look like? Like, what do they do?
Yeah. So we get together in homes. And so what we do is we have a meal, we open up God's word, but then we also try to have each C group identify a mission that they care about and that they want to pour into. So one C group really cared about the pregnancy care center, and they started to bless a lot of the families that were a part of that. And then from that, we want to see specific, unique relationships. So within the community groups, we've started DNA groups. So that's Discover, Nurture, Act. And these are groups that go through scripture. And so we call it text theology life, right? Like, let's go through God's word. Let's read what's like there. Let's see, like, what's the big theological truths, and then how does this apply to me? So just a principle of like seeing each other, like building relationships, getting connected, and then diving deeper in God's word together. Yeah.
So you guys have a meal.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. We have meals at ours. Have you found that difficult sometimes though? Like,
yes and no.
Okay.
One of the things that I pray early on, and I stole this from Ben Conley, but it's still really good, is that I pray, God, thank you that you give us something from outside of us that comes inside of us and gives us life.
Mm-hmm.
So even in eating, we're rehearsing the gospel.
Sure.
And so it's tough. It can be to get people to sign up and stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, we're doing all church C groups right now for the holidays, just because we're like, hey, it's Christmas and New Year's. Let's like get together. Let's do some fun stuff. And we just said, do finger foods. So we did appetizers, and that's like easy because anybody can do that.
So all church community group.
Yeah, man.
I like that, man.
Yeah. It's been really fun. You can steal that. He's writing it down.
We're taking that. Grove, if you're listening, get ready for that. Probably not this season, but next time.
Yeah. It's fun.
That's cool, man. So yeah, meals are a hill I want to die on. I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it's huge.
I mean, we're going through Luke right now, and Jesus is like always eating.
He's just eating everywhere.
If he's not eating, he's leaving eating. If he's not leaving, he's about to eat. It's just like always, all the time.
Yeah,
the story. And so I think it's so important, but I just wanted to ask, because, man, like, sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth pursuing.
Absolutely.
If you're convictionally, if you feel like that's important. Okay. So we got some time left. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you're doing all this stuff. You're planning church in the middle of a pandemic. You're discipling folks, you're getting together. What does Billy's rest look like? Like, what does it look like to rest?
That's a good question. I like to do a few things. So I'm actually a big hobby person. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Where, like, when I really get into something, I really get into it. And so one of the things I love is actually something Zach loves too. We both love board games. And so I love playing games.
Like Monopoly?
Just like Monopoly. No, Monopoly. You know, like, I mean, I guess like the...
Which Monopoly is fine?
The most like, more like nerdy games, like Settlers of Catan is something that's like kind of on the lower end of like where we jump in. So like we get into really nerdy stuff, but that's really life-giving. I love reading fiction. That's really fun. I'm getting ready to finish the Mistborn trilogy.
Okay.
And I've really enjoyed that. That's been really good I read so much.
Yeah.
To read for fun. Man, just being with my family. We love being outdoors. Like, we live in such a beautiful place. Like, we love going for walks together. I have a 10-month-old son. And so just laying like on the floor beside him and playing with him is like one of the most life-giving things in the world. So just some things like that. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I think reading for fun, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel like it makes us better writers ourselves. If we write stuff. Makes us better preachers, like just learning how people use the English language or whatever language you're reading it in, how other people use it. It gives us inspiration on how we could use it to be effective in our communication. Yeah. So I think that's a underused use of our time.
Yeah.
For sure. We do have a question.
Sure.
And so what's being asked here is what does Billy do to raise up elders?
That is a great question. So anytime you're church planning, right, you're going to be kind of jump it in solo in a way. So I have an advisory board that's over me. So I have an elder team that's over me externally, but as far as developing and cultivating local elders. So I started a leadership cohort, and through that, it's basically an entryway to invite different men who would be potential leaders into a more serious discussion about leadership. I give some off ramps, right? Mm-hmm. Because some guys will jump in and they'll be like, this is a little bit more than I can do. This is a little bit more than I can chew on. And then also I give them at the end, we do an exit interview. I try to give specifics at tasks. Hey man, like this is something as we went through this process that I see that you're really passionate about, really gifted in. And so it gives them then an opportunity to kind of elder unofficially. And so to serve and to love and to care for people. So I've got some guys who are jumping in, who are going to potentially lead C groups, which that's a killer way to see. If you can lead a C group, if you can do like life on life discipleship there, that's a great way to see it on a microcosm rather than seeing it in a bigger scale. And so the plan will be once we get some guys who are in a place where we feel like we want them to jump in. We have an elder process. It's a 9-month process that we've been working on from our sending church, from Carr's Church. And we'll invite them to that process. And then I'll have like a group of guys join me. So Zach will probably be one of those guys that come in externally and interview these guys and help bring them through the process. And so that'll be one of the ways that I'm currently working on raising up elders.
Yeah. So I think this is an important question. And so my church has 3 elders or 3 pastors. And we're putting a guy on a track right now to be another. What kind of interaction do you have with these elders' wives as you walk through this process?
Very, very good question. I mean, I think, again, whenever we invite people into the cohort, we do cohort family nights because we don't want to just get to know that person, but we want to get to know their entire family. And then we also can have more serious conversations, right? As we invite people into the process, a big part of that is interviewing the wife and making her feel like, hey, we want you to know that like your voice is heard. We value and we understand that this is a big call. This is a big weight to carry. Just like when I went through the elder process at Caris, my wife Hannah was carried through that alongside with me. And we would want to do the exact same thing, just continue to invest, do discipleship, pour into them, but then also hear them and go alongside of them.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And I think and it's so important because I think elders' wives or pastors' wives can accidentally be neglected in that process, but also even like ongoing like care. I know my wife can end up carrying a lot of weight of the church that maybe she didn't sign up for or not meant to just accidentally as I come home and talk about how my day was. And so it's so important to care for them well and love them well. So couple questions as we wrap up, man. You mentioned a book series that you're wrapping up, but like if you had to recommend a book to people, just a book, what would that book be?
I'm reading a book right now and it's so good. And I think it was a bit more recommended in the past and it's kind of gotten forgotten. It's an old book, but it's called Outgrowing the Ingrown Church by C. John Miller.
Okay.
It is, I think it's a must read. I really do. I think if you are in ministry, it's very, very good. It's stellar.
It's available.
It's available. You can get it on Amazon right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's gonna look you're gonna go look it up and you're
Outgrowing
gonna be like,
the Ingrown Church.
You're gonna be like, that book, Billy? Because it looks like it's from 1986. And I'll say, yeah, it is from 1986. You should still read it. It's great.
Still they were doing stuff in 1986. It's great. okay, so cool. So, and then I think you kind of already touched on this, but it's a question I wanted to ask you. If there's another answer, you can give it. Yeah. But what do you do for fun? Like, how do you unwind? Yeah. Not just rest, but like, how do you like just like enjoy life? Like, what do you do?
Well, I mentioned already I play board games. Yeah. I read. What else do I do?
I know you go hiking. I know you used to ride.
I had a mountain bike, but that got stolen. So that was sad, but that's okay. Hiking is like the dream. Like we had some guys come visit in October and just taking them up into the gorge. Cause we both live on other sides of the Linville Gorge. We went up on Short Off Mountain and it's just like the most life-giving thing to stand in creation and see God's grandeur, glory and splendor. And just like, man, love it. It's so good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I think oftentimes when you live in a rural place, you live in some of the most beautiful places. And so getting outside and enjoying those places is awesome.
So, so important. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Billy, for taking the time to driving up here, hanging out and answering some questions and letting us get to know you a little bit better. I mean, I'm encouraged by you, your story. Yeah. What God's doing in Morganton.
Yeah.
We're huge fans and, we'll be praying for you and your church, your raising up of elders, and just kind of as you move forward in this next year, just keep doing what you're doing, man.
Appreciate it.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions or anything else you want to ask, Billy's in the rural Facebook page.
Yep.
And he can check it out and try to answer any questions you guys might have or anything. But appreciate you guys. Yep. Thanks for listening.
Take care.